Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
On Tuesdays, you are missing out a great deal. I don't even know how to tell you how much you're missing. So much word being taught. How many of you are sincerely being blessed by Tuesday teachers? Let me see your hands. Let me see, wave it so that those that don't know can pepper them. Okay. All right. Please come to church on Tuesdays. Please come to church on Tuesdays. I'm teaching a series on how to hear God. And last Tuesday, we talked about the office of a prophet. And people's hearts are being steered. If you don't come to church on Tuesday, you are missing out. You are missing out a great deal, all right? So please tell them, as a neighbor, please be in church on Tuesday. All right, so tell anybody, as a neighbor, make sure you're in church. Open to Genesis chapter 13 that we have been reading for about 2 weeks now. Genesis 13, today is going to be very powerful. I want your hearts open. Please, please, please don't let anything distract you. Get your notepad and your pen ready as we study God's word together. I'll be speaking today on what I titled, Walk Through the Land. Somebody say, walk. I can't hear you, church. Say, walk. I'll need a lot of feedback from you this morning. Say, walk through the land. Say it again. Say, walk through the land. All right, Genesis 13, verse 14. Help me do more. What does it say?
And the Lord said unto Abraham.
And the Lord said unto Abraham.
After that Lot was separated.
And I said to you last Sunday, the Lot is the familiar. Lot is family. Lot is your past. And Lot is what? Number four? Lot is what? A cover up. Lot is what you are used to. Lot is the model, the style, the system that you are used to. The Bible says, after that Lot separated, God spoke to Abraham. I said to you last time that there are things that God cannot say to you and God cannot show you so long as you have Lot in your presence. Lot is what you are used to. Lot is that thing that you have that at least makes you survive. Lot is your one bed in hand that is worth two in the forest. And I said to you that the one bed in hand worth two in the forest is not a proverb for anyone that will be great in life. For life itself has a boundless, limitless scope of opportunities offered by life. That if you hold on to one bed, you'll be missing out on all the possibilities that life has to offer. So one bed in hand is worth two in the forest is not a proverb for you as a child of God. Because God would rather have you leave that one bed and go after the thousand birds He has for you in the forest. Go, what does it say next?
Lift up now thine eyes.
Lift up now thine eyes. So that's the first step. It tells you to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes is to get encouraged. Lift up your eyes. Stop looking down. Stop looking depressed. Lift up your eyes. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? I know that if you keep looking down, you'll have a lot of reasons to be discouraged. The Bible says to lift up your eyes. Hope is the foundation for faith. If you don't have hope, then you can have faith. The Bible says for faith is the substance of things hoped for. So God says lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. The enemy broadcasts so much bad news around us to ensure that our eyes are down. So if you look at the news, there's so much news about how marriages are failing. If you look at it too long and too far and too much, you would lose every item or atom of hope that you can have a successful marriage in your own life. The Bible says to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, it says. Fix your eyes on the things that cannot be seen. For the Bible says things that can be seen are temporal. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18. So why we look not at the things that can be seen. We look at the things that cannot be seen. So we focus our eyes on the things that cannot be seen. That gives us hope. And that's the procedure for having anything that God wants to give to you. Is to look So he says, lift up your eyes and do what?
And look from the
and
place
look.
Where
so
thou
put your
art.
Fingers where you are and go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Look, he says, is a procedure, there's a process to getting what God wants to give to you. Number one, John chapter 1, John chapter 1, what does it say?
That which was from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Which we have heard.
Which we have heard.
Which we have seen with our
which
eyes.
Which you have seen. And then.
Which we have looked upon.
Which you have looked and then.
And our hands have
handled. So you see, from the beginning, the Bible says, we heard with our ears. For faith cometh by hearing. The first step is to hear. We heard. Then we saw with our eyes. Seeing is to take a full grasp of it. You understand it. That's why people say, I see. When they understand something. Seeing is to take full apprehension of it. Then it says, look. There's a between look and see. The Bible is not going to be writing tautology. It says, see with our eyes and then look. Look is prolonged seeing. Are you following me in church this morning? For you can look. You can see and not look. The Bible says, he that looketh upon the woman and lust after her. You see, look is what? Prolonged seeing. It is he that seeth a woman. Because you're going to see. Whether you like it or not, you're going to what? You will see. It's just that you will not look. Are you following my point? It says, he that looks upon the woman. It's a prolonged. So, seeing is prolonged. Looking is prolonged seeing. You see it with your eyes. Now you keep your focus on it. You keep your eyes on it. You fix your eyes on it. The Bible says after you have done that, your hands will handle it. Your hands will handle it. Everything that your heart desires, when you keep your eyes on it, your hands will handle it. It says, look from where you are. Is that what it says? Genesis 13. Look from where you are. Look from where you are means to look away from where you are. This second half, you need to look away from where you are. Look away from where you are living. Look away from your bank account. Look away from your health. Look away from your health. The Bible says Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham knew that Sarah's womb was dead. He did not just look at it. He says, who against hope believed in hope? He says, look away. Look away from your current condition. Don't build your life around your current situation. Look away from it. If you look at where you are, you'll be discouraged. If I look at where I am, I'll be discouraged. If I look at my bank account, I may be discouraged. If I look at my CV, I may be discouraged. If I look at my qualification, I may be discouraged. If I look at my background, if I look at where I am from, I may be discouraged. He says, look away from where you are. Look away from it. Don't look around. Look away, number one. Look away from where you are. Number two, look from means to look from where you are. Don't let where you are be the reason you won't take a step. Did that make sense this morning? Look from, he says. It means to start from where you are. People are looking afar. Look from where you are. Start with what you have. Start with where you are. What you have, who you are, is a good enough place to start from. Don't let where you are be the reason why you don't take any step at all with your life. The pastor, I would have done this only if I had this, only if I were here, only if I was born by this person, only if Dangote was my father, only if Michael Jackson was my parent, only if. If you keep doing only if, you would never do anything. It says to look from, start from. When we started SLC, we started with 7 people. We started, we looked from where we were. 7 people. 1, 2, 3. Even Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. We started with 7, including me. Amen. 7 is the number of perfection, isn't that? We started perfectly. So if all you have is 700 naira, look from where you are. If where you're living is 7 Lungu Street, Lungu Compartment, Lungu Department, Lungu Area, start from where you are. Don't let what you are dreaming, start small, think big, build locally, think globally. Are you following my point? Don't let where you are be the reason why you are not expanding. Don't let where you are be what paralyzes you. Don't let analysis of where you are, they call it analysis that resort to paralysis. Don't let, if all you have is this, it's good enough. What you have is a 5 bread and 2 fishes, is good enough to start from. It's good enough to start from. What did God have when he started the world? All he had was earth. And all he had is water. Because earth came from water. He says, let the dry ground appear. So all God had was the spirit and water. And he started the whole earth. All we saw today came from that. Start from where you are. Tell him, say, neighbor. Start from where you are. Then it says, look where?
Northward.
Southwards, Abby?
Yes,
again, continue.
And eastward.
Eastward.
And westward.
So it says, look in all direction. Do your business in all direction. Don't let people lock you down to something. People always love to lock you down to something. People say, as I'm looking at you, you look like a sanguine, you look like a choleric, you look like a phlegmatic, you look like you are an outgoing person, you are an inside person, you are this, you are that. People have a tendency to want to put a label on you and keep you somewhere. The Bible says, look all directions. All directions. Says, as you are looking at you, you'll be a good lawyer, you'll be a good marketer. You can be that. So I said, don't let that monopoly of all. Who says you have to be this or that? You can be this and that. You can look northwards and look southwards and look eastward and look westward. Abraham came out and said, God, what direction should I go? He says, shut up. Look all directions. I can give you everything you see. Don't let anybody monopolize you on one thing. This is all you can be. This is all you can do. If you're this, you can't be this. If you're that, you can't be that. You can't be a spontaneous person and be a structured person. Lie. You can be anything God says you are. Look all directions. Look all directions. So God didn't put any limit on your life. God says this, how far you can look. He says as far as you can see. You can take a binoculars if that will help you. See far. God did not put a limit. Listen to me. God did not put a limit on your business. God wants to do business in high waters. He wants to do business across nations, across continents. You are not too young to have international businesses. God called Jeremiah, he was too young. God called Abraham, he was too old. Age is not anything that stops you from being what God wants you to be. Are you following me? So don't let anybody put a limit on you. Don't let them put a cap on you. It is Nigerian constitution that has an age limit for being governor. God doesn't have an age limit for being anything. He could call you at any age. And then he says, look all directions. That means look without limit on the scope of what you can look at. How far can you stand? I say, neighbor, how far can you see? You see, because if you can't see, then you can't get it. He says, for as far as you can see, I will give it to you. That's why I have to look at from where you are. Some of us have to start looking at pictures of where we want to be. See it. Sometimes if you stay too long somewhere, your imagination will be captured there. You stay where there's no light, where there's no light, where there's no light. You'll not be able to imagine a world with light. You see? That's what I do for here. Because you have stayed too much in this place. Look far. Look away from where you are. Let your business be global. Stop thinking locally. Stop thinking. There's nothing that God is putting in your life that wants to be local. He said, disciples, start from Jerusalem unto Judea. Then Samaria, and then where? Uttermost part of the world. God wants you to be uttermost part of the world. Uttermost part of the world. All directions. So come on, what does it say next? What does it say, Abraham?
For all the land which thou seest,
yes,
to thee will I give it.
Yes.
And to thy seed forever.
Yes.
And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth.
Yes.
So that if a man can number the dust of the earth,
yes,
then shall thy seed also be numbered.
Yeah.
Arise.
Arise. And
walk through the land in the length of it.
Get up, he says. Arise, he says. All those promises and prophecies. Abraham said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Tell me, Lord. Speak it. Preacher. Tell me. I receive it. And he said, shut up. Arise and walk. Every promise of God puts an obligation or an obligation or responsibility on you to perform your part. Arise, he says. Walk through the land. Walk through the length and the breadth of it. You have seen it, now walk through it. Walk through it, he says. What did God tell you this? They say this year will be your year that you become a city without walls. Have you walked your industry? Or you're sitting back and waiting for it to come to you when God says, go get it. Go get it. Go and get it. Go and get that industry. Go and get that business. Go get that stuff. Go get it. Go out, do it. He says, walk through the land, the length and the breadth of it. Arise. There was a neighbor. Arise. A lot of us are sitting back, sitting down, crossing our legs and waiting for things to fall on our laps like cherry mangoes. Arise, he says. In Joshua chapter 1, help me do more. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. When God speaks, when he gives you a word, he puts a grace on you to perform what he asks you to do. That's why I say he puts an obligation, a responsibility on you to do your part. Joshua 1 verse 1, what does it say?
Now after the death of Moses,
the servant of the Lord,
it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua.
Because Moses was Joshua's lot. Some of you, your pastor is your lot. You didn't get that. You see, sometimes we allow the limitations of people that we look forward to stop us. And Joshua struggled because Moses struggled. You see, Moses was there for 40 years. Moses was there. Almighty Moses was there for 40 years, couldn't cross Jordan. There's a lot that means that in the psyche of Joshua, having respected and followed Moses for years, there's a possibility that he thinks in his head that this thing is not possible. Moses could not do it. How am I? So Bible says, when Moses died, what did God say?
The Lord spoke to Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses' minister, saying,
yes,
Moses, my servant, is dead.
He was powerful, yes, but he's dead. He was anointed, yes, but he's dead. Elijah was a man. As powerful as he was. Now it's your turn. He says, arise. Joshua, arise. What did he say next?
Now therefore arise.
Arise.
Go over this Jordan.
Go over the Jordan.
Thou. And all these people.
Go over the Jordan. This was the same Jordan that Moses couldn't cross for 40 years. Same Jordan. God says, arise now. Get over the Jordan. What happened next? Help me.
Unto the land which I do give to them.
Unto the land. Is that verse what?
Verse 2.
Verse 3. Give me verse 3.
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon.
Every place that the sole of your feet shall do what?
Tread upon.
So that's walking through the land. Is that walking through the land?
Yes, sir.
Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I will do what?
That have I given unto you.
So I have given to you. But you actualize what I've given to you by walking on it. Everywhere the sole of your feet treads, it looks like a promise, but it's a contract. If you tread Abuja, I have given you Abuja. If you go ahead and tread Lagos, I have given you. If you take a little bit further and tread Accra, Ghana, I have given you. Everywhere you tread. So it is you, Joshua, that determines the boundaries of your territory. Am I talking to church people this morning? What is the boundary of your business? Everywhere you tread. God has not put a geographical limitation on the expansion of your work. He has not done that. Give me verse 6. What does verse 6 say?
Be strong. And of a good courage. For unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land.
Yes.
Which I swear unto their fathers to give them.
Yes.
Only be thou strong.
And very courageous. Verse 9.
Have not I commanded thee? Be strong.
So you see God. What was God emphasizing all throughout this place?
Be strong.
Be strong. 3 times. Be strong. That means God was addressing the matter. It is very difficult to step in Moses' shoes. Moses was a mighty man. No doubt. Moses. Moses came down from the mountain one day, his face was glistening. Moses spoke to a rock. Rock was vomiting water. And that rock was following them everywhere. Moses commanded pills. Moses commanded bread. They were eating bread, falling from heaven every day. Their shoes were growing bigger as they were growing older. Their clothes nowhere else. that guy was a mighty, mighty man. It was a difficult thing to step into the shoes of Moses. So this boy, Joshua, I understand how he feels. God had to tell him, be strong, it's not easy to be strong. Moses parted Red Sea. I haven't even parted a bucket of water. And these people even murmured against this Moses. What are they going to do with me? Are you seeing what Joshua is afraid of? Are you seeing that? So God says, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Is that verse 9? Verse 10.
Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying,
yes,
pass through the host. And command the people.
Someone say, command the people.
Command the people.
It's not suggestion. It's not opinion. Say, okay, what are you thinking? Do you think we can do this? We are not looking for opinion. We command people that what? What did he say to command them to?
Prepare your victuals.
Prepare your food. Yes?
For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan.
3 days. 3 days. This thing that we could not do for 40 years, we're doing it in 3 days. This thing that we could not do for, our fathers could not do for 40 years, we are doing this thing in 3 days. The land your father could not buy for 20 years, we're buying it in 3 days. Kalabaku peta kaya. 3 days. 3 days. Ha. Mr. Joshua, are you serious? 3 days, he said. Who told him to say 3 days? Eh? Did you hear God say 3 days? No, God didn't say, God has never given you any limitation. God did not tell you when to do it. He said, go and cross the Jordan. He could have set up a committee and said, let's have a 1 year plan to cross the Jordan. But Joshua said, 3 days! Some of you are going to go back and do that you have been struggling for years. You are going to do it in 3 days. Anytime you are ready, God is ready. Every day is God's day. The day you believe is your day. Kalakuta. He could have left God that morning and said, we are going this evening. God didn't tell him to go. Any day you are gone. Any day you want to be healed, you are healed. Any day you want to be delivered, and the day you choose, he said, today is the day of your salvation. The good thing about today is that anywhere you read it, it will be today. If you read it tomorrow, it will be today. If you are ready yesterday, it would have been today yesterday. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days, he said. Is that verse 11? No. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. 3 days. What they struggled for 40 years, they couldn't do. He said, we're going to do it in 3 days. Joshua chapter 3, verse 13. What does it say? 13.
And it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
As soon as the soles of the feet.
Someone says, souls. Again, we are seeing these souls. Some of you have to go to that industry and go and put your feet there. Prophetically. He said, take this land. You enter into a new city. You put off your shoes. Souls touch the ground. People say, yeah, that's being religious. Yes, I am very religious. There's a particular industry, there's a particular place, your heart has been designing. You go there, you put your foot on the ground. Now, as long as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord. Continue with me tomorrow. What is the next?
The Lord of all the earth.
The Lord of all your earth.
Shall rest in the waters of Jordan.
Shall rest in the waters of Jordan.
That the waters of Jordan.
The waters will be cut off when their souls step on it. If they stay back, nothing will happen. If they kept thinking and kept wishing and kept receiving and didn't put their feet in it, nothing will happen. It says when they put their souls, what will happen?
The water shall be cut off from
yes.
The waters that come down from above.
Yes.
And they shall stand upon an heap.
Next verse.
And it came to pass. When the people removed from their tents.
Yes.
To pass over Jordan.
Yes.
And the priests bearing the ark of covenant
yes.
Before the people.
Yes. Next
and
verse.
As that they bear the ark
as the
were come
yes.
Onto Jordan.
Yes.
And the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped
yes.
In the brim of the water.
In the brim of the water.
For Jordan overflowed
for Jordan
all its banks.
Over, you see, at that time, it was even the time that Jordan overflowed its banks. It was the most difficult time, the most impossible time to want to cross Jordan. Everything looked impossible. Feasibility studies said this is not the right time. The statistics came. This is not the right time. People are giving your report. People are working on your analysis report. Say this is not the right time. Jordan has overflowed its banks. The Bible says the moment they put their feet in the brim of the water, because this is a different generation. The Moses' generation had to stretch for their rod. This generation had to put in their feet. If you are not ready to put your feet, you are not ready for anything. Put your feet in it. Don't wait till it stops. It is the putting of your feet that makes things happen. They put their feet. Help me understand this.
All the time of the harvest.
Yes.
That the waters which come down from above.
Yes.
Stood and rose up upon a heap.
Yes.
Very far from the city.
Yes.
Adam, that is beside Zaratan.
Yes.
And those that came down toward the sea of the plain.
Yes.
Even the salt sea filled.
Yes. Failed.
And were cut off.
Yes.
And the people passed over right against Jericho.
Give me verse 17.
And the priest that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord.
Yes.
Stood firm on dry ground.
On dry ground. In the midst of Jordan. And all of the Israelites passed over the dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. In 3 days. In 3 days. You see, Moses was Joshua's lot. If Moses was there, I said, let's get a rod. Joshua, that's a old antiquated model. What worked for your dad may not work for you. That's your lot. Lot is your past. Bible says they put their feet in it and they began to walk. Until you are ready to put your feet in it and do something about it and step out of your comfort zone, this without war thing cannot be yours. You must make up your mind that God has said it, I will do it. He says, write down the vision, make it plain that he may read the wrongs. You see, the vision has to be received, has to be written, and has to be run with. It is the running with the vision that brings up the accomplishment of the vision. Vision is not enough. Prophecy is not enough. Divine guidance is not enough. There's need for us to act on what God has told us. So if God told you, take the city, my friend, go out there and take it. Take it. If God already told you to do it, he has put enough grace and been able to do it. Let me show you a story. My time is almost up. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'll just read verse 1 and I'll give you a background story to what happened in that story. 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 1, what does it say?
Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord.
Hear ye the word of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus says the Lord.
Tomorrow at about this time. Shall a measure of fine flour.
Be sold for a shekel.
And two measures of barley.
For a shekel.
In the gate of Samaria.
So let me tell you a background story. See this story. Elisha prophesied this thing. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. But if you go to 2 Kings chapter 6. You would see the story. Because of my time, I won't be able to read it through to you. Syria had besieged Samaria. And what it means to besiege is that they have put garrisons outside the fence of Samaria so that nobody could come in or go out. And it resulted to a high famine in the land. Nobody had food or water to drink. It became terrible. So terrible that women were boiling their children to eat. That's how terrible it became. And every time the king went to Elisha, I said, Elisha, help us. Elisha would very lazily. He would say, this is from the Lord. There's nothing I can do about it. He would say it all the time. The king would send people, please go and beg Elisha. What does the Lord say? Elisha said, well, there's nothing we can do. This is from the Lord. There's nothing I can do about it. Because Elisha was supernaturally provided for in his own house. So he didn't care. But on this particular day, that woman came weeping to the king. The king was wearing sackcloth. King. On the streets. The woman said, oh king, help me. The king said, how can I help you? Even me. Nobody to help me. And the person that could have helped us said, this thing we are suffering is from the Lord. He said, my king, me and my friend agreed that we'll kill my own child today and eat him. And that tomorrow we'll kill our own child and eat him. But now we have killed my own child and we have eaten him yesterday. Now he has gone to hide our own child. Ah! The king said, what? Tore his clothes out of rage. This thing is this bad? He called his matchet man. Carry your matchet now. Go to Elisha's house. I'm following you behind you now. When you get there, cut off his neck. As he made that pronouncement, he said, be going now. Since he said it is God, let all of us go and meet God. Elisha caught in the spirit that they were coming. So there are people that think that they can just sit down somewhere and say, well, there's a spirit coming from the north, from the south. They think that's the purpose of, that's not the purpose of prophecy. Prophecy is to bring solutions. Who cares about how many spirits you can see if you can't bring solutions? So as he was in the meeting with some elders, he caught in the spirit that they had sent him to come and cut his head. And he knew that God would not deliver him. Because this was the same Elisha that blinded an entire army. Are you following my point? Now he knows that car I'm going for. So he told one of the guys, he said, please help me block that door. That guy is coming now. He was not even done finishing before the guy hit the door. Let's backtrack. Give me chapter 6, last verse. Chapter 6, last verse.
And why he had talked with them.
Go to the one before that one. Can you read NLT? NLT, the one before that one. NLT.
Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel.
Are you following? Is that NLT?
Yes, sir.
Okay, continue.
When the king sent a messenger to summon him.
Yes.
But before the messenger arrived, mm-hmm. Elisha said to the elders, mm-hmm. a murderer has sent a man to cut off my head. Mm-hmm. When he arrives, mm-hmm. shut the door and keep him out. We will soon hear his master's steps following him.
He was catching this word of knowledge. Somebody's coming. Somebody's under the sound of my voice. Next verse. Verse 13. Look at what the king said.
While Elisha was still saying this,
yes.
the messenger arrived.
Yes.
And the king said,
yes.
all this misery is from the Lord.
Yes.
Why should I wait for the Lord?
Since it's the Lord. Since it's the Lord that put us in this problem, we are not waiting for him again. He said, why should I wait any longer for the Lord? If it's the one that put us in this trouble, he cannot save us from this trouble. We have to send someone to meet him. It was when Elisha heard that, that he now prophesied. Chapter 7 verse 1. That thus says the Lord, by tomorrow. Where was that prophecy before? And his life came under pressure. Your action at your fingertips, your life can change if you act. What you are waiting on God for is waiting on you. He began to prophesy. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. When did the Lord God say it? And the moment he said that, go to verse 2. What does verse 2 say? Help me.
The officer assisting the king said to the man of God,
yes,
that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven.
Yes.
But Elisha replied,
yes,
you will see it happen with your own eyes.
Yes.
But you won't be able to get any of it.
You cannot begin to see confidence with which he was speaking. Because his life was going for it. Next verse.
Now there were four men with leprosy
now
sitting.
There were four lepers. You see, because the moment you take a step, life begins to orchestrate everything. Everything will be settling. Everything will begin to happen without your involvement. The moment you choose to put up your feet, God begins to orchestrate every happening in your favor. What did the lepers do? Help me.
Sitting at the entrance of the city gate.
Yes.
Why should we sit here waiting
Why?
To die?
Give me King James. The four lepers. I love these four lepers. They're my favorite characters in scriptures. They sat back there. They sat back. Things are bad. Things are worse. Things are terrible. And they sat back there. And after many, many years of sitting outside in the famine, someone said, why sit we here and die? Someone showed the others. We cannot continue like this. Our life needs to be better. One wife needs to show her husband this morning. One friend is to shove his friend and say, come on, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here and allow things to continue like this till we die? Help me, what does he say next?
If we stay here, we will enter into the city,
uh-huh.
then the famine is in the city,
yes,
and we shall die there.
We will die.
If we still sit here,
uh-huh.
we die also.
We will die.
Now therefore come.
Now therefore.
And let us fall onto the host of the Syrians.
Let us fall into the host of the Syrians, yes?
If they save us alive.
If they save. It's what they say, if. Does it sound like perhaps? Perhaps they may keep us alive. Sometimes you need to step out on perhaps. You see, faith and certainty don't work together. As strong as faith is with Siamese twins, it's uncertainty. We're not sure, but we're going to try. It doesn't look like, but we're going to try. It may not work, but we're going to try. It may not succeed, but we're going to try. They may get us, but we're going to try. We may fail, but we're going to try. They may reject us, but we're going to try. They may not take my proposal, but I'm going to try. They may not take my proposal, but I'm going to go there still. They may turn me back. The board of directors may say no. They may not take the things that I want. They may shut down my pitch presentation, but I'm going to try. By all means, I'm not going to sit back here and die. Do nothing. At least if I die, let me die doing something with my life. Let me die knowing that I tried my best. Let me die knowing that I shook myself from my leprous situation and moved into my destiny. Let me die trying. So let me keep us alive. What does it say next? Help me.
If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.
Yes. So they said, let's try. They didn't hear from God. They didn't hear from God. God didn't say nothing. Some of you are sitting back waiting for God to say something when he has already said all he's going to ever say. When I resigned from my office, January 2017, I was sitting back doing nothing. I wanted to do ministry, but I was waiting on my church to do something, and my church was not ready to do anything. I sat back there waiting to die. One day, as I laid on my chair in my living room, I remember these four lepers. I said, why sit me here and die? So I said, I'm going to hold the meeting. I called it Supernatural Life Conference. 2017, September 24. That was my first ever meeting. I told my friends, join me. Got some few volunteers, about 10 of them. And my wife, I began to talk to them. I said, God said this. God said that. God said he would do this. God said he would do that. God said he would do this. I said, God did this. God told me this. God told me that. God didn't tell me nothing. God didn't tell me nothing. But I said, God said this. It's going to be a powerful meeting. The power of God is going to fill everywhere. September 24, 2017. When I got home and I laid on my chair, God said, son, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I said, God, what have you been waiting for? I've been waiting all this time for you to get up and do something with what I've told you all your years. I'm not on repeat. Guess what? He did all that. He did all that. He did everything he said he was going to do. And Supernatural Life Conference became Supernatural Life Church. Yes, yes, yes. That's where the name came from. It was so SLC. I said, what, why should I change the name anyway? SLC, Supernatural Life Conference, Supernatural Life Church. That's how they didn't care for. Imagine if I sat back there waiting to die. I shook myself. Somebody needs to shake themselves. You are sleeping too much. Sleeping too much. Wake up. See your life, you're getting older. Nothing to show. And you're just sitting down looking at me like that. Get up, he says. Arise! Tell me what happened. Tell me this. So we're not done. Tell me the story.
For the Lord had made the host of, and so they rose the up in the twilight.
The Lord, they rose up in the twilight and did what?
To go unto the camp of the Syrians.
Yes.
And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria,
yes.
Behold, there was no man there.
They found nobody. Why did they find nobody? Help me.
For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians.
For the Lord made the hosts of the Syrians to do what?
To hear a noise of
chariots. Hear a noise. Four lepers were coming. It was sounding like a noise of chariots. God's super must come on your natural to be supernatural. There's no supernatural without some natural. God caused them to hear a sound. What you are afraid of is not there. When you get it, you will find out. Willie. I will kill me. Come out! Get in the moguru no. Too much panjaniko panjabush in Panyako get to moguru. What is sounding glee inside the bush? If you want to kill me, come out, let me see you. That fear is afraid of you. When they stepped out, it's my season. God has spoken to my brain out now. The Bible says God cursed A sound. And what happened? Help me. What does happen next?
And a noise of horses.
Yes.
Even the noise of a great host.
Yes.
And they said one to another.
Yes.
Lo.
Yes.
The king of Israel had hired against us the king of the Hittites.
Yes.
And the kings of the Egyptians.
Yes.
To come upon us.
Yes.
Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight.
They fled. The whole army fled. Entire army. When they fled, what did they do? Help me.
And left their tents.
Left their
and
tents.
And their horses.
And their horses.
And their asses.
How did they flee without horses? Why do people flee without horses? Which was faster? To have flown. Which was faster? To have flewed? Eh? Fluid. Was it not better to have fluid with these horses? The Bible says they left their horses. What does it say next?
And their asses, even the camp as it was,
yes.
And fled for their life.
Next verse.
And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the
yes.
camp, they went into one tent
yes.
and did eat and drink
uh-huh.
and carried then silver and
uh-huh.
gold and raiment
uh-huh.
and went and hid it
uh-huh.
and came again
uh-huh.
and entered into another tent
uh-huh.
and carried thence
uh-huh.
also and went and hid it.
Uh-huh.
And they said one to another,
uh-huh.
we do not well.
Uh-huh.
This day is a day of good
uh-huh.
tidings. And we hold
so,
our peace.
Let's go and tell them. Ejo, what are people doing with gold in the camp? What are people doing with silver? Why did they pack their gold from their house to come to a war? Are you seeing the foolishness of the enemy? And that the fact that you have remained where you are is this why you have not gotten all God wants to give to you. That door is open. Go there. It's not shut. When you kick it, it will open. Mary and Mary Magdalene and her sister was there going to the tomb. They wanted to anoint Jesus. And they wondered among themselves, who will roll away the stone for us? And they were bothered. Who will roll? But they kept going. They didn't know who would roll the stone, but they kept going. They were not sure if the stone would roll away, but they kept going. But I said, when they got to the sepulchre, the stone has been rolled away. What you're afraid of is afraid of you. Child of God, stand up. It's your season of being without walls. Kaliki bilini kubaka. God did not put a limitation on your life. Slip it. Rise, he says. What's that thing that you're afraid of? You have time. We are still in July. What are you going to go do now? How many books are you going to write before the end of the year? He didn't put a limit on it. He didn't put a limit on it. How many more things are you going to do for the end of the year? How many business proposals are you going to write before the how many phone calls are you going to make tomorrow morning? And that fear of rejection has held you back from being all that you could have been. You don't mind making 20 phone calls. If you make 20 and 10 comes through, 5 comes through, one is better than nothing. Go out, arise, God said to Abraham, and walk. Walk. Walk through the land. Walk through the land. Don't hold back. If somebody's here this morning, barriers, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Kepra, Shelly Kebra, Hefra Sute. Hey, only be thou strong, he says. Somebody, your destiny is waiting on you. Destiny is waiting on you. Destiny. Destiny is waiting on you. Mahande kahihihi. Embaliki balikita. Kebra suzuvele katelike bata. The stone is rolled away. The stone is rolled away. Pray, 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 pray. Pray, pray, pray. Ika para siata. I receive strength in my mind. I receive strength in my spirit. Jekukubala tukubali kibata. Enko kumbulu 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 kuta. Ikabarada bakashili biata. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying this morning? Ikabrasufrate. Embraka shika. Enrabababababababatalabakatalabatalabata. Embambrakas katalabadadaha. Enrakabababababababashiha. Iyakabaradosi. Embambambambambamba. I receive courage in my spirit. I receive courage in my heart. I receive courage. I receive courage. I receive courage. I receive courage. Somebody pray. Destiny is waiting on you. No limits. No limit. No boundaries. No limit. No boundaries. No limit. No boundaries. Pray. Epaka sule kubaliate. Ika basia. Politics, the doors are open for you. Governance, the doors are open for you. Media, the doors are open for you. Education, the doors are open for you. Every door you knock will open to you. Only the doors you knock will open to you. Ekabarash. Pray. Expand the frontiers of your business. expand. Eka para siataya. Expand. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out. I'm not sitting anymore. I'm stepping out. Shakata kabarata. Ita salabata labahaya. I'm no longer a slave.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.